Thanks for hanging out on this Wednesday morning. Joe O, Sammy P. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetMGM Network. It's that time of the year. Football season is here. We continue with week number one coming down tomorrow. Bunch of line movement in those Thursday games. You have those heavyweight matchups coming up over the weekend. Three top 10 matchups. And then it continues over on Monday. You have Bill Belichick's team playing the first game of the year, which people are going to be very interested to see what happens there. So a lot happening in the college football world, and that's where we're going to go with our power rankings today. We are going to power rank our conference plays that we are looking at coming up, and maybe it's a bit challenging for most because now we're down to basically four conferences. So we'll get to that coming up in just a moment. More college football later on in the show. We'll break down our favorite Heisman plays. Get that coming up. An interesting trend. We're not a trend show, but there is a trend out there involving the Heisman that I do want to discuss. We are also live on X all hour. Bet_sweats. You can find the link there. Watch the video version of this show over on X. You can always listen on the Odyssey app. BetMGMNetwork.com takes you there. Odyssey stations throughout the country as well. And, of course, the podcast. Sam, are you with me? You good audio-wise or no? Apparently not. Always something. See, at the start of the show, it was Sam had video, no audio. I had audio, no video. We eventually got that hammered out for the rest of the hour. But now we're back where we started 1 hour later. But I'm here, and I'll get things rolling here with our power rankings. Favorite conference futures. That's where we're starting. And I'm going to go with a bit of a longer shot at number three. And coming off that Jeff Schwartz conversation, it would make you think, Joe, what the hell are you doing? What an idiotic play that you've got here. But I'm looking for a little bit of value. And I go to the Big Ten Conference. And I understand if you're down on Oregon a little bit with all the changes there. I mean, hey, we're talking about winning the Big Ten. Just because you're saying they're not going to repeat what they did a year ago doesn't mean they're going to be awful. But maybe they slide back and they're not in that championship game with all the changes, including at quarterback. And Ohio State has a lot of changes as well, especially on the defensive side of the ball where they lose their defensive mastermind. In fact, they lose both of their coordinators, a bit of a Lions conversation going on there. So it wouldn't be a surprise that they slide back. Penn State is likely to be in the championship game. And it's a short number on Penn State. If you like them in the Big Ten, I'm not going to fight you on that. But who are they going to play? Keep in mind in this era that a lot of times when you have these mega conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten, the two teams playing in the championship game are probably both going to be in the playoff anyways. And it's really just about seeding. So if I think Penn State's going to be there, who do I think they're going to play? I'm going with a true freshman quarterback. Just because of the value and because of some of the changes that I see. I'm going Michigan 9-1. If you were listening yesterday, you're probably not surprised by this call. But Wink Martindale had that defense playing in the last month of the year. And they were going over some top-notch offenses like Indiana and Ohio State, and they played at a very high level. The thing is, they had no passing offense to speak of last year, and they're expecting that to change. If you're just middle of the pack in the country, that would be a massive upgrade from where they were a year ago. So with a couple of those top teams, I think, taking a half step back, I'm going to say Michigan is back and they do have a softer schedule. So I'm going Michigan 9-1 as my third favorite college football future conference play coming up this year. Number two, let's go with a number that's still in the middle and that's shorter than Michigan, but it's a decent number. Another situation where there's a lot of change, but hey, in this era of college football, sometimes you see change and it happens immediately. You don't need to wait 2-3 years. That's no longer the case because you see change throughout the country. Here's another team that has new coordinators. They spent a ton of money on defense, and they should have. I'm talking about Texas Tech. Their defense was god-awful last year. They're giving up 35 points per game. So they have a ton of transfers, spend a lot of money on this defense. They just bring in five defensive linemen on that position alone. They're new across the board. I'm expecting them to, I'm not saying elite, but can they at least get to that middle of the pack area? Yes. And it's a wide open Big 12. And so you keep the quarterback. You have 13 4-stars coming in on this team. In a wide open conference, I like Texas Tech. I think they're going to get things figured out. And at 6-1, I like that number. And if you look at the odds in that conference, nobody really knows what the hell's going on. That's the message that is being sent with the numbers that are out there. So I go from long shot, medium shot, to now a favorite. It's just plus money, but it's my favorite conference future. In the ACC, I'm not going to overthink it, and I'm just going to go to Clemson. And really, outside of two teams, I can't make a case for any other team winning the conference. So I'm going to keep it with Clemson at plus 120. You look at that outstanding defense led by Tom Allen. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the nation making his return, Cade Klubnik, and you have the most returning production in the nation. That's what you're getting with Dabo. Tough test to start with LSU. They are favored to win that game. They could very much win that game at home, favored by more than a field goal. And then if you look at the rest of the schedule, I'd say the second toughest game is the last regular season game at South Carolina. If they win their first game of the year, like if you look at the road, you can make a case, maybe one loss, maybe none. That's how good I expect Clemson to be. So that's my top play in the conference futures. Clemson plus 120, Texas Tech 6-1, and then Michigan third at 9-1 to win the Big Ten. Joe O, Sammy P, power rankings. We are going over our favorite conference futures. Sam, those are my three. How about you? What are you thinking?
I do love the Clemson one. As you know, I love Clemson this year. But for some reason, Clemson didn't make my list. I don't know why. I guess I woke up and chose violence. Let's go 3-1, as we do. I think this team has the best quarterback in the Big 12. And we've had plenty of guests on this year that keep saying, oh, anybody can win the Big 12. Now, that's hyperbolic, of course. There's probably four or five teams that could win it. But every time I bring this team up, there's pushback. There's hesitation. That's Kansas. I think Jalen Daniels has the potential to be the best quarterback in this conference. And I'm not a prisoner of the moment because I did bet Kansas against Fresno in week zero. I thought it was a great spot, and they rolled. I'm not trying to put too much stock in one win, but I think if they can regress to where they should have been last year, remember, they had the lead in six fourth quarters. They lost all those games. That's almost impossible. Things just went south. It was one of those weird years. But I think there's a really good chance they can get to the Big 12 title game. And if that's the case, you've got 15-1 in your pocket. Even at 1-0, I know it wasn't a conference game, they're still 15-1. I know everybody's talking about, you know, Iowa State and Utah and Kansas State and all that. I think Kansas is worth a pop at 15-1. I love their coach, too. I'm a big Lance Leipold guy. That guy's a winner. He's won everywhere he's been. And I think it was very telling that at the end of last season, right away, he decided we're going to name two new coordinators. It didn't work last year. He made changes. So I think Kansas 15-1 is worth a small pizza bet. You bet a little to win a lot on the Kansas Jayhawks. Number two, Brad Power says they're his national champion. I'm not quite there. I think my biggest question coming into the season is, can Kalen DeBoer win at this level? He's the head coach, of course, of Alabama. If he can, you are going to be rewarded because most conversations start with Texas, then move to Georgia, then maybe it's an LSU year. Alabama might have the best roster of all of them when it's all said and done. Now, from a power rating standpoint, I have Alabama number four in the country. So I have Texas one, Penn State two, Ohio State three, Bama four. But my gap between Texas and Bama is only 3 points, and that could be way wrong. If Arch Manning isn't as good as people think, I'm going to drop Texas. And if Tyler Simpson is better than market thinks, I'll raise Alabama. I just look at that market, though, and I see 5-1. if they're only 3 points worse than Texas, why are they 5-1 to win the SEC? The math ain't math in there. And I'm a big fan of this roster. I think there's a lot of questions, though, about the coaching staff, because you knew what you were going to get when Nick Saban was running the show. You knew they'd win 10 games every year, and you knew they'd compete and probably play for a chance to go to a national championship. I don't know that we have that there. But if we do, you find out nicely at 5-1. Like, Texas is in that 2.25 range, 250. You get double the trouble, double the price on Bama. I like that look a lot. Let's go Bama 5-1. And then my favorite future. If I talk about this team anymore, I don't know. I don't know if it's possible to even be that clear how much I love Toledo this year. And they are plus 230 to win the MAC. This is the most talented roster in the MAC. It's not even close. And I've talked about this with you, Joe. I'm over the win total, 8.5. That's moved 50 cents. Toledo's over is now minus 160. Wink, wink. But still a good price to win the conference. And I look at that backfield. You add a guy from Ohio State. You add a guy from Virginia Tech. How many teams outside of the Power Four are adding guys like that in the portal? That's not a move that a MAC school makes, but that's what Jason Candle did this offseason. Two power running backs are in the backfield. Who's stopping that? Ball State? Ohio? Western Michigan? Mm-mm. Ain't happening. Now, they're a little too sexy week one against Kentucky, and we did see that move back, by the way. They came in and shoved Kentucky yesterday. They led 7.5, 8.5. That's fine. They're probably going to lose that game. But they could go 11-1, 10-2 this year. And I would be surprised if they don't win the MAC. I'll also tell you this. There's a sports book in Vegas dealing Toledo plus 130 to win the MAC. Well, you can get plus 230 in the market. A whole dollar higher. So let's look at that sharp shop. See Toledo at plus 130 and scalp that plus 230, which is a bad number. I think this team is absolutely a wrecking ball in this conference. And I love the Toledo Rockets plus 230.
All right, there you go. Toledo number one, Bama number two, Kansas number three. Certainly understand the case for Kansas. That makes perfect sense. You've got a good number. You trust the quarterback. And it's a fairly wide open conference. I'm most interested in the Bama play. And I think I understand it. Like, I'm just at the point with LSU. It's like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. Like, even with one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, like, I'll believe it when I see it, Brian Kelly. Because when it comes to SEC play in the heart of the season, I don't know that you're going to be able to get enough wins to get the job done. And you made a strong case for Georgia, and it starts with Stockton, why they're not the team. We know they kill it at home, but just overall, yep, defense in the trenches, they're always great. But I could see why. Okay, I don't want to do LSU. I don't want to do Georgia. You've got the favorite in Texas. And then Bama's sitting there, who nobody wants to take because they don't trust DeBoer. They don't think he's going to be able to turn things around in year number two. And if it doesn't happen, you're probably right. Like, it's either going to be he wins the conference or he's fired.
If they go 8-4, I generally have concerns for his job.
Yeah.
It's always impossible to replace a legend. But at Alabama with Nick Saban, the fan base expected him to win the national title. Unfair? Mm-hmm. Sure. Realistic? Potentially. I mean, they were one of the best teams every single year on paper. We don't know that yet about DeBoer. And again, you could throw a lot of questions out about this season. What are you most unsure of? What do you not know about? I don't know that he can win at this level. That's a guy that's won basically everywhere. But the SEC isn't everywhere, right? The SEC isn't some small D2, D3 school. The SEC isn't Washington. This is the big boys. And you're going neck and neck, and you're fighting for all these five-star recruits. The recruits are there, but now they have to perform on Saturdays.
The band is back together. He's desperate. He brings in OC Ryan Grubb after he got fired from the NFL, and we'll see if it works. They've coached together
a long time. Going to be a fascinating watch in the SEC. Joe O, Sammy P, Paul Charchian hangs out next. This is the BetMGM Network. Yeah, we'll talk some Vikings. Our guy Charch coming up in just a moment. Joe O, Sammy P, we are live on X this hour. Bet underscore sweats over on X. Find the link there. Bet underscore sweats. Sam, it is garbage day here, so I wanted to make sure I got a box out in front because I noticed that was not thrown out. So I went out there, and I've talked many times about the neighbor that blasts the entire Fleetwood Mac, the dance album, every single day for the entire neighborhood. And right now, he's changing things up. Tom Jones is blaring through the neighborhood right now. Come on, Tom Jones of everything. He must be feeling good on this Wednesday.
Do you have the Bet Sweat sticker slapped on the side of your garbage can yet? Because I need to do the same thing. Just slap it right there so every car that goes by can see it. I need a Bet Sweat sticker to just pow right on the garbage can, right on the side.
Good idea. Window decal. We got to get something going. The logo's cool. They work on it. Let's get the word of mouth out there. And let's get Paul Charchian in here. Very excited. That now you know it's football season. Charch is dropping by at Paul Charchian over on X Guillotine Leagues at fantasylife.com. Charch, we made it, man. How you doing?
I want to know if anybody's going to blast Tom Jones, you got to take your underwear off and throw it at whatever's right. That's what you got to do. That's the tradition with Tom Jones throwing. Well, okay, hold on. I do have this right. It's Tom Jones. Okay.
I think so.
I have never Googled the phrase Tom Jones panties until just now. And yes, it is Tom Jones. Is that the guy that everybody throws their underwear at? I'd like to think you did it, Joe.
Yeah. Well, I'm just happy that he wasn't blaring Sex Bomb. It's the song that they played on Fresh Prince that Alfonso Ribeiro would dance to all the time. But yeah, man, let's talk some fantasy. Let's talk some guillotine leagues, all that kind of stuff. Of the notes that you sent over, one that certainly stood out to me was a conversation we had on the show on Monday where we've been breaking down a team each day and we got to the Commanders and we had Michael Jenkins on.
Yeah.
And he brought up this guy that you have written down. You're like, this is the biggest preseason mover. We've got to go to that Commanders backfield. Explain.
And Jenks is great, by the way. Love him. Biggest preseason mover, Washington running back, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. He's moved up 66 spots in 2 weeks. That's and the rise was already happening. And then that trade for Brian Robinson kind of sealed the deal for him. And, you know, what we've seen is, you know, people are identifying opportunity. But at his new elevated high price, going off the board as running back 24, that's a lot for Jacory Kroski-Merritt. I'm going to be the wet blanket on this. Everybody talking about how much they want to go get him and how good he's looked in this opportunity. And it is the opportunity's there, but in the preseason, he's looked just okay. I mean, he's a seventh round rookie. He's averaged 3.9 yards per carry so far. He has played zero snaps with the Commander's first team offense. Almost all of his snaps have come with fourth-string quarterback Sam Hartman, who they cut yesterday. And the Commanders have Chris Rodriguez, a pretty good third-year back coming off of seasons in which, with very limited workload, he's averaged 4.8 and 4.9 yards per carry. I mean, that's pretty solid. And Jacory Kroski-Merritt bounced between colleges, put up good numbers for 1 year at New Mexico. Dane Brugler, when I was breaking down his rookie prospects, noted this, and it's very good. For Jacory Kroski-Merritt, college career, he had 125 yards against Power 4 competition. That's it. So I'm the wet blanket on Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Mm-hmm. I hope he's great. I hope I'm wrong. But his draft price has gotten ridiculous on hype and buzz, and I'm out. I'm not paying his new price.
So I may or may not have helped the missus with her fantasy draft, and I told her to take Kroski-Merritt, I think, in the sixth round. And her response was, I don't know who that is. And I said, exactly, take him. But, Church, I was watching this draft, hand on heart, I'm watching this draft. She picked second, in a 10-person league. Pick number one, Ja'Marr Chase. Pick number two, she had two. She went Bijan Robinson. Pick three was Barkley. Pick four was Jalen Hurts.
Wow. Wow. That's probably a mistake. You probably could have got Jalen Hurts on the way back in the second round or maybe the third round. But hey, it illuminates this. Go get your guys. You know, would I have taken Jalen Hurts there? No, I think I'm a little more savvy. I would have known to wait. But at the end of the day, nothing worse than getting done with your draft. And all you've done is draft like the players who are listed at the top of the ESPN, list of players. And you just keep pulling from the top and you get done and you're like, I don't even like these guys. Who are these players? This doesn't look like my team. Go get your guys at the end of the day. And if Jalen Hurts is going to make you happy and you're going to have more fun playing with him, then go get Jalen Hurts in the first round. It's okay. The most important thing is you get the guys that you want on your team.
I'm glad that was brought up because I want to ask about the quarterback position. It is something that every draft room, especially, going on, there's a ton of drafts going on Labor Day weekend, but everybody has a strong opinion. And you've got those people that have their nose up in the air whenever the first quarterback goes, right? Because that's not what you're supposed to do. I wait until the very end. I mean, that's how I draft, but I don't typically ridicule people unless they're going in the first round. I understand that a little bit. What is your theory when it comes to drafting quarterbacks? Are there specific names that you constantly land on? Is there a range once 10 guys are gone? What is your overall plan of attack when it comes to this position?
You either pay for one of the four big name mobile quarterbacks that set you up in a position for explosive output like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts. And that's the order I have them in. Either go get those four, and you got to pay late second round, third round, maybe into fourth round. So really third round is where those guys typically go. You got to pay to get them. Or you just punt that position for the next nine rounds, round 10, round 11, round 12, and the guy that I always try to get. And I've got him in half of my 20-ish fantasy league so far, Drake
Dak.
I'm really up on Drake May. Now, Dak's going to be good. He's going to throw a ton because they're not going to be able to run and they're going to be losing in most games. But here's why I love Drake May. This could be the best, most improved offense in football. Last year, Drake May was downright gallant playing behind the worst offensive line in football and the worst set of receivers in football. Now he's got Stephon Diggs to throw to. That's going to be a help. He's got the new first round pick. That they took with the fourth selection in the draft at his left tackle, Will Campbell. And Campbell looked awesome so far in the preseason. So I'm excited about some upgrades on the offensive line and just the overall offense being better with Travion Henderson. And Drake May runs. That guy's got some legit mobility. 500 rushing yards, 5 rushing touchdowns easily attainable for him. So when I'm punting that quarterback position into round 10, Drake May is the guy that I'm targeting at that stage.
I have whittled down my list to only two. I know you've done about 20 drafts this summer. I'm only in two leagues, and I haven't had any drafts yet. But I'm probably going to reach in one of those or both of them, if I can, to take Tet McMillan in Carolina. I don't know what it is. I just have this hunch that he's going to be that next 1,000-yard guy. Maybe 7-8 touchdowns. I'm big on him. And we usually see, Charge, going back to the Ja'Marr Chase year, then Justin Jefferson, you usually have one of those guys that hits 1,000 yards and is a huge weapon for a young team that probably isn't good and probably throws the ball a ton. I am so high on Tet McMillan, it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, and the news that came down in the last hour, trading away Adam Thielen opens up a lot of volume for Tet McMillan, which maybe he would have had anyway. But remember, Thielen last year was great. The second half of the season when Bryce Young was cooking, it was largely with Adam Thielen. So this opens up some real opportunity in Carolina for Tet McMillan. And Sammy, this goes back to what you were saying earlier. Go get your guys. You framed it up perfectly. I'm going to reach. You love the reach around. You're going to reach a round on Tet McMillan to make sure you get your guys. You've always been a big reach around guy, Sammy.
Yep.
If you want Tet McMillan, you want to be sure you get him. Round four is the right spot. End of round four, maybe beginning of round five, Tet McMillan on your team.
With my underwear off, Joe. My underwear off.
No, no, we don't need to go.
While I draft McMillan.
To throw at Tom Jones. You like how we went full circle there?
Oh, man.
I thought that was brilliant. There's something you...
Paul is very, very tight right now. He is very concerned right now. He's like, watch the dump button, Jake. Watch it.
Yeah, I know, right? We know we're doing. We're all pros here. Paul knows that. Yes. You mentioned earlier husband-wife leagues. I want to tell you about the best husband-wife league I know of, and I encourage other people to do this. In the draft, so there are leagues where every team is a husband and wife combo, same team. But at the draft, they are separated into different rooms and they alternate picks at the draft. They can't talk to each other and they can't communicate with each other about who they should select. So husband makes a pick, wife makes a pick, totally separate, husband, wife. So that way, if one or the other is better at fantasy football, they can't influence each other and they can't talk during the draft. And I think that's the way to run your husband wife league right there.
So she got an A in her draft and was very excited.
Kiss of death.
I may have gotten lucky that night, Charge, when I helped her get an A in her fantasy draft. What is the stink hole? I see that you're putting questions about the stink hole in the rundown.
Yes.
What is a stink hole, and what do we do with this?
Here we go again.
It always comes back to this. The stink hole, every year there's a different stink hole where in the first round, there's usually a consensus number one guy, number two guy, number three guy, number four guy, but there isn't a consensus number five guy that could go anywhere. That's the stink hole. This year, the stink hole's way up at pick number two. Ja'Marr Chase going first in basically every league in America. And then there isn't an obvious consensus player at pick two. You could go six different directions. You could go Justin Jefferson. You could go CeeDee Lamb. You could go Bijan Robinson. You could go Ashton Jeanty, Jahmyr Gibbs, Christian McCaffrey. You got a lot of things you could do with that. Brock Bowers is in play in my world at pick number two. A lot of things you can do. And that kind of also makes it valueless. You could, if you've got pick two, trade back. Go to pick five, go to pick six, and then get the earlier pick in the second round. That's a possibility. If I've got pick two in a standard league, I'm taking Bijan Robinson because I love how much they use him in the aerial game and at the stripe. Last year in Atlanta, new offensive coordinator Zach Robinson from plays inside the five all year completed four passes, but ran the ball 27 times inside the five. That tells you that this team is going to keep running the ball at the goal line, and that gives me some sure touchdowns for Bijan Robinson.
Charge, before we run out of time, we got to get a thought on the Vikings. After a huge surprise last year, low win total, one of the lowest, and they shocked the world with the season they put together. We know the change at quarterback. Sam, it's come up just about every day about how high he is on Minnesota this year. Where are you at?
JJ's looked pretty good. He's got requisite arm strength for the job. He's got the best quarterback coach in the league, arguably. I mean, we can talk about Dave Canales in that conversation as well, but great quarterback opportunity. He turns left. There's Justin Jefferson. Looks to his right. There's Jordan Addison once he gets back from suspension. Now he's got Adam Thielen that'll be in the right place, catching all the balls that come to him. This is and TJ Hockenson. Aaron Jones out of the backfield. A much improved offensive line for Minnesota. I contend no first-year quarterback in the history of the league has been dropped into a better spot for success than J.J. McCarthy. Now, what's going to be different from Sam Darnold is this team's going to run the ball a lot more than they have the past 3 years under Kevin O'Connell. They beefed up these offensive line with run-blocking personnel. And they added Jordan Mason, who's going to get the short yardage carries. Jordan Mason is one of my favorite bets to lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns. He's sitting on 10, 12, 14 rushing touchdowns as a real possibility for Jordan Mason as the designated goal line back in a high-functioning offense. And why do we care about designated goal line backs in high-functioning offenses? Here's why. Last year, your touchdown leader was James Cook. The previous year had two touchdowns. Then he blew up to 16 rushing and two receiving. Year before that, Raheem Mostert was your touchdown leader out of nowhere with 18 touchdowns. The year before that, it was Jamal Williams on the Lions. Designated goal line backs on good offenses give you a crack at it.
Oh, that's a great look. Love that. Paul Charchian at Paul Charchian on X, Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com. Thank you, Charch. Can't wait to talk throughout the season. More coming up. Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, the BetMGM Network. Joe O, Sammy P, we are live on X this hour, so another segment. Check us out there, and then we've got another hour to go. Kevin Pillar from Foul Territory will be joining by us at the top of the hour, 11 a.m. Eastern time. Our favorite Heisman plays also in the final hour of the show. Did want to revisit something that Charch mentioned. Like, he threw this out there. I was like, whoa, that's the lead. When you're giving me a bomb of a play that in a market that nobody's really talking about, and he's got a little bit of insight because he's up in Minnesota. He talks about the Vikings on the air a lot. And he threw out Jordan Mason being the rushing touchdown leader. And all the background he gave, he's right. Like, when you see guys, goal line guys, that don't score many touchdowns one year, and then you come back and then, boom. We've seen it so many different times. Like, him bringing up the idea of Jordan Mason, I think that's pretty sharp, man. That's somebody that knows the team inside and out. Bringing up Jordan Mason, a guy we've seen some production in Shanahan's offense with him, and now he's in another great offense in Minnesota.
And he's going to get the ball inside the five. Aaron Jones is also your prototypical great teammate. He just wants to win. This guy wants a Super Bowl at this point in his career, and he doesn't give a damn how many touchdowns he gets. Some guys are selfish. Some guys don't want to share the backfield. I think Aaron Jones is your consummate professional teammate, and he would be more than okay if Jordan Mason gets more touchdowns and helps them in their pursuit of a Lombardi trophy. You said the price is, what, 60 to 1 on that? Mason to lead the league in touchdowns?
60 is the best that I see. There are a couple of spots. You know, BetMGM's posting a 50, also a strong number. I see a 50, I see a 60, then it falls off the table. Like, that 50 and 60, strong. Those are good bets. The third best number I see out there in the domestic books is 30. No, I'm not betting that. But 56, this is, people, we say it all the time. This is why you've got to look. You've got to at least shop your prices. I mean, we're talking about doubling your payout from the third best number to the best number available. It's ridiculous.
You're not going to believe me. And we sort of talked about this during the break with Charch. What a character that guy is. I love having him on, and I think we should have him on regularly, especially when he called me a reach-around artist. I love that. I love that about him. So you're not going to believe this, but during the break, I was reaching in to find my key card because I'm in a building that you need a key card to get in and out of floors. Look what I found in my coat pocket. Another ticket on Jonathan Grenard. I swear to God, this is in my pocket. Yep. One of many 100-to-1 bets on Jonathan Grenard DPOY, which Charch did like during the break. I threw it out there. I found this in my coat pocket. So imagine how many of these I have floating around in my book bag in my life right now. I mean, I probably have 5 or 6 of these at 100-to-1. Here it is, baby.
FOMO now. No, I feel like
I mean, you could still bet it. You could still bet it. There's still a 90. There's still an 80. Circa went down to 40 because I bet it, and then all these other guys started betting it. I was like, I couldn't have talked about it enough at Bet Bash, of all places. That thing got destroyed. They don't need Grenard at Circa. The liability's got to be $250,000 already.
Wow.
Dude. Well, to move from 100 to 40 – I mean, think about it. If I'm popping them for a couple hundred and everybody's chasing it, to go from 100 to 40, that liability adds up real quick at 100 to 1, 90 to 1, 80 to 1.
All right, let's see. They're going to take my bet. I got that went in right away. I just bet it at 100. Had okay. To.
Of course. Of course they're going to take it, especially if they haven't taken it. But the problem about doing that at Bet Bash, and you got five people that are all going to come in and just pow, 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 they're going to drop the number. But if you just ship a solo Grenard bet, it's not going to do much damage. The issue is when one guy bets it at 100 and then another guy bets it at 100 and then they move it to 80 and somebody bets the 80, then there's right. an issue.
How many do you think you bet?
I think five.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I think I have five of these.
Big
and if I find
show.
Any more, if I find any more, I'll let you know.
It makes sense. He should be on a very good defense. And if they're a good team too, like, yeah. I mean, somebody's going to get the credit. It's been Flores so far, but it's probably time that one of those players gets the credit on that team. So that's good. Good stuff. Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, BetMGM Network. I did want to bring this up because we got a tweet at @bet_sweats. Sam is at SB Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. And this was sent before the show. I didn't see it until during the show. It's a four-leg futures parlay. On this show, before I even saw this ticket, we've talked about three of these four legs. So we love this ticket, right? I mean, and I'm looking at this number. I'm thinking this is pretty strong here. So it's Clemson to win the ACC. I said that was my favorite conference future. Now, the number he got was terrible at this spot, so maybe shop around on that. So he took Clemson to win the ACC title game, San Francisco to win the West, NFC West, they're favored, and you've brought up many times, including again today, just do a two-teamer with Buffalo and Kansas City to win their respective divisions. So this guy bets that. The account is Tecmo70 checking in. Appreciate you listening and sharing this with us. Gets a +180, and the guy got it boosted a bunch. He used this one for one of those profit boosts. At a four-leg parlay, +850, which leg scares you the most of these four?
Probably San Francisco, but I also really like San Francisco. Yeah. So you're asking me to pick my least favorite child of four children that I adore. It's very difficult. I mean, all of those bets I like. The one that makes me nervous the most, if somebody were to ruin it, it would probably be San Francisco to win the division. But I also like that bet. Look, the Bills are winning the East. I've been hooking Bills East with a lot of things. A lot of things. You know how I feel about Kansas City, and you and I both like Clemson. So of the four, I think my least favorite is San Francisco, but I'm betting San Francisco to win the NFC. So Tecmo, I think you got a winner here, pal. But the best part is that he's able to boost this at 100%. Yeah. So people always ask, and we got a direct message from longtime listener AJ. He got multiple free bets for 500 a pop. And he says, I don't want to do it at -110. Right on, dude. Party on. I think you should take shots on futures or future parlays. And if you can boost it, so he made a $50 bet at +850, but then he boosted the payout from 475 to about 900. If you can boost your future, let's go.
So with those free bets, would you recommend, just because it's part of this conversation, maybe throwing one on Grenard.
100%.
Maybe throwing one on Mason for rushing touchdowns.
So he got a handful of them, and he's already made a few. He went Niner Super Bowl, McCaffrey MVP, Bills Super Bowl, Clemson National Title. He's made those individually. So he has a few more $500 free bets. I think he should definitely do a parlay. That Chiefs-Bills division one at +180 is a great idea. And I don't know if you want to hit them for 500 on Grenard, but I don't know. Some books would let you split it. So you could take that 500 and go 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. I don't know the parameters of the free bet system that AJ has, but hooking two teams to do something like Clemson to win the ACC and the Bills to win the AFC East, you're right in my wheelhouse now, because that's probably a winner.
I just thinking this through, I would probably take one of those free bets, since you have a handful of them, and pick a Big 12 team with some value, and then a bunch of ones that you love. Like, maybe you wheel it and you change it up with some of those Big 12 teams and get a good number. Like, whether it's 6-1, you threw out Kansas, that idea at 15-1, and you go with teams like Buffalo, with Kansas City, maybe a few of the others that you like.
Here's another one I'm building right now on the fly, so bear with me. I'm at BetMGM, and I know that the free bets may not be there, but I'm just going to build on the fly. So Chiefs to win the AFC West, Bills to win the AFC East, Alabama to win the SEC. That's over 11-1.
Yeah.
If you have multiple free bets and you can burn one of them, I don't know what your amounts are, boys and girls, but that is a bet. Two of those legs are going to win. The Bills are going to win the East, and the Chiefs are going to win the West. If Bama can do what Brad Powers and guys like that believe, you're going to be sitting on an 11-1 ticket. And if you bet 200 or 500 free bet, do the math, man. Do the math.
So what if you did Toledo? Do they have Mac on there that you're looking?
I don't know. I'm going to check. I see Sunbelt, so we should have Mac. You know how these apps are. Some things come and some things go. I do not see a Mac market right now, unfortunately. Okay.
Well, what if you just added the other team that you took? Like I mentioned, the Big 12. If you threw Kansas in there.
I'm adding Kansas, and that parlay cannot be parlayed. It says you cannot.
Wow.
Well, we're talking, if I add a 15-1 shot on an 11-1 parlay, we're in the 100-1 range, and they don't want to take that.
Could you do that if you took Bama out?
Potentially. Let's see. Let's take Bama out, leave Kansas in. 38-1. Chiefs, Bills, Kansas.
I mean, yeah.
But I want to add Bama. Let me add Bama, cowards.
Maybe you can go somewhere and find that where you can add Bama. I get it. Man, I'm excited. This is real. People are going to be doing this a lot over the next week, just mixing and matching all sorts of different ideas. I love it. Joe O, Sammy P. Yeah, exactly. We'll talk some baseball on the other side. Kevin Pillar from Foul Territory hangs out. You've got Bet Sweats right here on the BetMGM Network.